Good morning, everyone. The title of my presentation is Where is My Doctor? A Human Resource for Health, the Gender and Reproductive Health Perspective. And I have no disclosures. I'm going to start by defining who health workers are. The WHO defines a healthcare worker as anyone whose focus or activity is to improve health. And there are people engaged in the promotion, protection, or in the improvement, promotion, protection, and improvement of the health of the population. And they include the family caregivers, patient-provided partners, part-time workers, health volunteers, and community workers. Healthcare workers can also be classified into three groups, and they are the providers, technicians, and managers. The WHO also put healthcare workers in the following categories: the physicians, nurses and midwives, dentists and dental assistants, pharmacists, laboratory scientists and technicians, environment and public health workers, community health workers, and traditional healers, other healthcare work providers, health managers, and support workers. But in the light of this, I'm just going to pick one of the healthcare worker issues that we have, the doctors. So I'm going to talk about the doctor-patient ratio. The number of doctor per patient is known as the doctor-patient ratio. It's also, you can also say it's patient-doctor ratio or doctor-population ratio. And the WHO recommended doctor-patient ratio is one doctor per 600 patients, 1 to 600. Why are this issue important? Why are the issue of doctor-patient ratio important? I'm going to take this excerpt that I took from a newsletter in India during the bird flu pandemic. It said, it got media attention recently when the bird flu broke out in different parts of our country. It also grabs media attention in complicated emergency situations, when the rural doctors have their about to collapse patients to rush for trauma centers in the city hospitals, and many patients die on their way to the intensive care units of the sophisticated hospitals located in the urban areas. What happened during the bird flu pandemic was that in the rural area, there were not enough doctors, not enough clinics. So they were trying to transport the people that were sick to the urban areas. But before they got there, many of them lost their lives. Just to talk about how these issues are important. Low patient-doctor ratio will reduce the general health status and all the health indicators. It will increase the waiting time to see a doctor. And will also result in less time spent with a doctor. Let's say, for example, there's a doctor here and he has a line of 500 people to see. He's probably going to spend less time because he has to see all of them if he has to before he goes. So he's probably going to spend a little time with each person. And because of this is going to increase the errors in diagnosis. Because he wants to spend a little time with everybody, he wants to see everyone, it's going to result in errors in diagnosis. And it can also result in patients not even receiving care at all. Because if I'm in line and I'm waiting 5 hours, they'll call me some day and I'll say, you know what, let me just go home. Maybe I can find something. I can take herbs or something. Maybe I can find another alternative instead of staying here for the whole day waiting to see a doctor. It also results in patients trying to self-medicate themselves too. All of this can increase both maternal and infant mortality rates. Facts about doctor-patient ratio. It varies within countries and between countries. Usually there's a lower doctor-patient ratio in urban areas than in rural areas. For example, the doctor-patient ratio in rural India is 1 to 30,000, one doctor to 30,000 people. And in urban India, it's one doctor to 1,700 people. The ratio also varies among countries. It's lower in high-income countries compared to low-income countries. For example, the ratio in Tanzania is 1 to 50,000, and in Netherlands, it's 1 to 320. In 15 countries in sub-Saharan Africa, there are 5 or fewer physicians per 100,000 people, below the recommended 20 physicians per 100,000. Countries with less than 2.5 healthcare workers per 1,000 people were unable to provide 80% coverage for measles immunization and deliveries by skilled birth attendants. And what is translating to is the measles immunization translating to higher rates of infant mortality. The deliveries by skilled birth attendants translating to higher rates of maternal mortalities. World Health reports from 2006 estimate that Africa and Asia together lack more than 4 million health workers. This is a picture of a crowd gathering around a mobile health station in India, in rural India. Now, take a look at this. This doctor probably comes maybe once in a week in the mobile health clinic, in the mobile health station. Now he's there, look at all the people gathered around him. Do you think you have enough time to see all of them? Probably not. And he would like to see all of them, maybe. So he's probably going to spend less time with each of them. And do you think you have time to discuss family planning issue with any woman there? I don't think so. He wants to first of all talk about things like diabetes, you know, things that he thinks are more life-threatening because of time. Global variation in doctor-patient ratio. I tried to compare the doctor-patient ratio in high-income countries with low-income countries. And look at the doctor-patient ratio in Netherlands, for example, it's 1 to 320. And in Burundi, it's 1 to 33,500. And when we look at this, we look at the high-income countries, the doctor-patient ratio are in the hundreds. And in the low-income countries, they are in the 10,000s. And I tried to compare the doctor-patient ratio with general health status indicators, the maternal mortality rates, the infant mortality rates, and the mortality rates, basically. Let's look at Burundi, for example, again. I'm just going to pick Burundi. The doctor-patient ratio there is 1 to 33,500. The infant mortality rate is 70.4, and the maternal mortality rate is 1,000 per 100,000 population. The mortality rate is 13.89. Now I'm going to pick Netherlands again. Doctor-to-patient ratio in Netherlands, these are places where there are low doctor-to-patient ratio. Doctor-to-patient ratio in Netherlands is 320, and the infant mortality rate is 10.37. The maternal mortality rate is 7, as compared to 1,000 in Burundi. And the mortality rate is 8.74. What this translates into is that the higher the DPR, the higher the maternal mortality rates. In fact, the rates are actually really, really high. And the higher the infant mortality rates and the mortality rates, basically. Countries with high DPRs have high infant mortality rates, maternal mortality rates, and crude death rates. And countries with low DPRs have low infant mortality rates, maternal mortality rates, and lower crude death rates. Global variation in healthcare workers and burden of disability. Africa carries 25% of the global burden of diseases but has 3% of the global healthcare workers. Americas and Europe both carry 10% of the global burden of disease but 28 and 37% of the global healthcare workers respectively. Thus, we may conclude that the higher the healthcare workers, the lower the burden of diseases. And this is just what I said in graph. Now, doctor-to-patient ratio and maternal mortality. I'm just going to take this quote from what Dr. Sebel Freyer of George Washington University said. She said, pregnancy is not a disease. A woman should not die of pregnancy. Pregnancy doesn't need a new drug. It doesn't need research. We just need skilled workforce at different levels. Doctor-to-patient ratio and maternal mortality. Increase access to skilled health workers during pregnancy and delivery, including midwives and other practitioners, can significantly reduce maternal mortality in developing countries. Many healthcare systems are faced with shortages of anesthesiologists, surgeons, and obstetricians. And maternal mortality reduction shows the greatest sensitivity to the presence of skilled maternal health providers. As you can see in the graph, in some of the tables that I showed, where there is a low doctor-to-patient ratio, like in Netherlands, for example, it was 320. The maternal mortality rate was just 7. And in Burundi, it was 33,500. The maternal mortality rate was as high as 1,000. And it's 1,000 deaths in 100,000 births. The probability of survival. This graph shows the probability of survival and the density of health workers. The higher the density of health workers, the higher the probability of maternal survival, child survival, and infant survival. Thus, the lower the DPR, that means the lower the doctor-patient ratio, the lower the maternal mortality rates, and vice versa. Gender and doctor-to-patient ratio. The low number of health workers places a burden on women as many as the traditional caregivers in many countries. In many countries of the world, women and girl child are the traditional caregivers. They take care of the sick and elderly. And because of this, the girl child might be denied basic needs like education and social life in order to take care of sick and elderly in many countries of the world. Doctor-to-patient ratio and reproductive health. I'm going to look at a definition of reproductive health according to the ICPD. It's a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of diseases or infirmity in all matters related to the reproductive system and to its function and processes. Encountering in places where there is a shortage of healthcare workers, women will lack access to full sexual reproductive health care, for example, family planning services and so on. Let's look at the situation that the picture that I showed earlier on in the mobile clinic. The doctor has to see all the people that were around him. Do you think he was going to talk about family planning service to anyone or give any information about reproductive health service? He's not likely going to be able to do that because he wants to see a lot of people. Doctor-to-patient ratio and reproductive health rights. Reproductive health rights, as defined in the Beijing Platform of Action, they are certain human rights recognized in the national and international legal and human rights documents. They include the basic rights of all couples and individuals to decide freely and responsibly the number and spacing of their children and to have information, education, and means to do so. The right to make decisions concerning reproduction free of discrimination, coercion, and violence. One of the basic things that this talks about is information. Low healthcare workers reduce access to reproductive health information and education. Thus, what this does is violating the women's reproductive health rights, basically. And the low access to family planning, the low healthcare workers also reduce the low access to family planning service. This also violates reproductive health, women's reproductive health rights. In conclusion, what we know is to improve women's reproductive health and reproductive health rights, it is obvious that the density of healthcare workers in many places in the world needs to be drastically increased. And some of the suggested ways is, in the short run, we can actually move jobs from one sector to another, from the urban areas to rural areas with incentives. For example, in India, where there is, in the urban areas, there is one ratio 1 to 1,700, and the rural areas there's ratio 1 to 30,000. If we move some doctors from the urban area to create a little balance and ask them that we're going to give them some incentives, maybe that will help. In the long run, we could admit more qualified students into the medical schools. In fact, in some countries, we actually need to build more medical schools. And we could employ physician associates. That concludes it. Thank you so much. Actually, I think in many African countries, school is close to education is close to like college education is close to free basically. It's not 100% free, but you know, and if the government can, I know money is an issue. The government can build more medical schools. Maybe if more students, more qualified, it's actually hard to get to medical schools in many of these countries. It's very, very hard. Like, for example, in Nigeria, for example, the population is 150 million. And though there are lots of universities, to get into medical school, you have to take a test. In fact, to get into any college, you have to take a test, which is a very difficult test. So everybody, if you don't get it, you have a cutoff for medical school, you have a cutoff for natural science school to be able to, you know. So people, many times students have to stay at home for 3 years waiting to go to college just because of this test. And I think it's because there are not enough schools and they're trying to cut down, you know, as many students that they can admit into the schools. So, not a problem.
You mentioned physician associates, and that seems to be one of the emerging consensus is that you will have nurses do tasks that have previously been done by physicians, and then you'll have community health promoters do tasks that have previously been done by nurses. So I'd like to know what you think about that, because there's a strong emphasis in the presentation on physicians.
Yes, actually, like in many developing countries, there is presently nothing like physician associates right now. It's either your doctors or nurses. So if we can, I'm thinking that if we can introduce physician associates. So while the, you know, just for some services, like the family planning service, you just need to talk to them about, give them information. Maybe the physician associates might do that, because if we have a doctor per 50,000 people, we're just looking for ways that we think might help. Maybe if we have some physician associate doing family planning services, the doctors might be doing all the chronic issues, maybe. That's what I think. It's just my own suggestion.
So a physician associate has received more training than a nurse, but less than a doctor. So who is the physician?
Actually, this is just my own opinion. You could be nurses, actually. But now the nurses are not, there are not even enough nurses. So if we're taking them away from their jobs now, do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why I'm like, okay, maybe if we get physician associates. You know, the nurses are not enough either. The nursing schools are not hard to get. They're not hard to get into, actually. They're not as hard to get into as the medical schools.
So
You know, actually, many people would like to go to medical school than to nursing school. So I don't know. It's just more prestigious in the low-income countries to be a medical doctor than to be a nurse there. It's just so there are more people trying to go into the medical school than into the nursing school.
Do you have any professions that are not nurses or doctors, but like health educators, that will be able to focus on more preventative measures that might not have to go to, let's say, medical school or nursing school or anything like that?
Right now, I think, actually, in most of these populations, they're coming up, actually. That's what I'm saying. They're coming up. Because usually nurses used to do those kind of jobs, so taking them away from their job to talk to people. Thank you.